Got to tell you, I'm a little more excited about today than last week. This will be a little easier, I think. I'm enjoying this series, to be honest with you. The forgotten virtues and the idea of these things that I believe in our society have been left behind. And it's okay for us to bring them back, right? We can be the leaders in that. We can be the catalyst that gets that going and that changes this culture that we're living in today. I believe that. Let's read our scripture to get this started. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation because I like the way they word it and it helps me with my sermon today. So, verse 5, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver. For a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us. Lord, if we have divided hearts today, help us to understand that You can bring that heart together and that it can be a soul-winning heart for You, God, a heart that desires to long after You, that wants more of You. And Lord, may that be our cry today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me ask you a question as we get into loyalty today. As you know, a few weeks ago we talked about honor. Last week we had the fun job of talking about purity. Today we're going to talk about the forgotten virtue of loyalty. So with a little participation from everyone, how many in here would admit and say, I am a loyal person? Raise your hand. Come on, raise them high. Be proud that you are a loyal person. That's most of us in the room. That's great that we feel as though we are loyal people. We all say that disloyalty is a significant problem. Yet all of us basically feel as though we're loyal. Right? Here's something to understand, and this is probably on the back of your bulletin. I believe I put it on there. If you have one, you can follow along there, or you can write this down and make notes. Truth be told, disloyalty is very difficult to see in the mirror. Disloyalty is very difficult to see in the mirror. We all like to say, hey, I'm loyal, but if I'm ever not, it's because you deserved it. Or you pushed me beyond my limits. And you caused me to be disloyal. I had to walk away because of something you did. And we want to push that off on other people instead of just owning the fact that maybe we weren't as loyal as we should have been. Let me give you an example. Just a few weeks ago, we had the 4th of July. And if you'll remember, Courtney's brother was here. He led worship for us that Sunday. They were here for almost a week hanging out with us. And on the Thursday night before the 4th, we went down to the church fireworks tent and bought some fireworks. And we were going to have some fun in my front yard. So one of the best fireworks in that place that we saw anyway was this thing called 1776. And it was only about this big around, pretty small case to it or shell to it, but very powerful. And it had 8 rounds in it. And man, every one of them, it'd shoot way up. It'd go off really loud, color everywhere. It was awesome. Pretty good deal. And so we decided to shoot them off in the front yard. This was really before we were supposed to legally. And maybe this was God smiting us for breaking the law and shooting our fireworks early. But we decided to set them out in the front yard. And Connor, of course, started out with his fireworks right up by the porch. And I'm like, buddy, we're all sitting right here. You got to get out in the yard. So I'm trying to keep everybody safe, you know. So we start out with this first 1776. And somehow, maybe we didn't have it level, I don't know, but it fell over. And they start shooting everywhere, which we thought was kind of cool. If you're a guy, you're like, yeah, this is awesome. But the ladies were like, no, you know. So they're wigging out. We're loving it. But so I step up being the dad, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to do the next one. So I went and got a board, and I set it out there to make sure it was level. And sure enough, we set it off, and it falls over again. Once again, there's 8 shots. By number 5, it has fallen over. So number 6 shoots towards our neighbor's house across the street, almost gets to their house when it explodes into the air, and we're just like, oh my goodness. The whole thing swings around and shoots back the other way between our house and the neighbor over here, right in the middle of the street, goes off again, and we're freaking out. I'm kind of anticipating what's next. The last shot, you know where it's coming, the very front porch that we're sitting on, here it comes. And I mean, the moment I see this happening, I'm bolting out of the porch, okay? Everybody has their idea of what they're going to do. So Courtney and her mother, they have the bright idea to go inside the house, which means the door is open when the firework goes off. We have black on the walls, thanks to this. Thankfully, it didn't burn the carpet, didn't start a fire, but we did have fireworks go off, and it went in the house, believe it or not. In the midst of all of this, Tessa, 6-year-old Tessa, who's scared of a lot of things, is just standing there like this. And smoke is rolling around her, and she just stood and enjoyed the whole thing. She thought it was awesome. Thankfully, she didn't get hit by it. But here's where loyalty comes in. Travis, Courtney's brother, he is on the opposite side of the porch from me. I'm running this way. He's over there, and he turns around to run off the porch the other way. The only problem is there was something in the way, and that was Tim. So this is Travis's story I'm going to give you. Tim has a different one, I think. But he turns Tim around and shoves him off the porch in order to save his life, is what we're told. So Travis then makes his way off the porch. As I'm running away over here, when I turn around to see the fireworks go off, Tim is rolling through the grass. I see him take a dive. So all of this goes on, and at that point, we had to determine, did Travis do it on purpose, or was he just trying to save himself? Was he really caring for Tim, or was he just taking care of Travis? Who knows? We may only know when we get to heaven. But in a pinch, we think we're loyal. We believe that we are loyal people. But when something happens where we need to save ourselves, many times we find ourselves with a reason to not be loyal. Disloyalty is very hard to see in the mirror. Now, excuse me, I'm going to try to do a wardrobe change here without ripping my microphone off. But, careful. My mom, we were going, I knew you'd do that. That's exactly what I was looking for. Thank you. So my mother was in the mall. She was shopping with my dad, and my brother and I happened to be with her. And we were traveling down this little hallway. I say little, it's a big wide hallway. It had stairs on each side and then a wheelchair ramp in the middle. And we all chose to go down the wheelchair ramp. And we're walking through the mall. My brother and I are in front of my parents. And at the point when my mom hits the wheelchair ramp, there was just enough incline, or decline, I should say, that she slipped and fell backwards right on her back. And I'm embarrassed to tell you, in that moment, my brother and I turned around and just kept walking. Why? I don't know. I feel terrible about telling you that, but it's a true story. We did that. Sometimes we think we're loyal people until something happens and all of a sudden we're like, wait a minute. So I want to give you a biblical example of someone who felt that they were very loyal. They would have told anybody, including Jesus, I will go to any length for you. I will be loyal to you. You'll remember this story because we talked about it at Easter. And this guy's name was Peter. And Peter, in his mind, believed that he was a loyal person. So let's look back on the story in Matthew chapter 26. It's verses 33 through 35. I'm going to give you a chance to turn there if you'd like. Matthew 26, verses 33 through 35. Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the disciples said the same. Now, we talked about at Easter, if you remember, that many of us can relate to Peter. We can think about that feeling he must have felt that third time when 3 different people came and said, "Aren't you one of those followers of Jesus?" And he didn't just say no, He didn't just say, Jesus, who? He swore to one of them and said, I tell you, I do not know the man. And at that moment, to hear the rooster crow and think, what have I done? Even in that moment, I believed that I was loyal. I thought I could be loyal. Yet here I am. And chapter 26, verse 75 says, he went outside and he wept bitterly. Here's the thing. Once again, if you're taking notes, if you want to write something down, true loyalty is proven, not proclaimed. True loyalty is proven, not proclaimed. I asked you earlier, are you a loyal person? And almost all of us said absolutely. And we would all agree that disloyalty is a significant problem in our culture. But it's not me. It's everyone else. Proverbs 20, chapter 20, verse 6 says, many a man claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful man who can find. Now the New Living Translation says this, many will say that we are loyal friends, but who can find one who is truly loyal? Loyalty is one of the forgotten virtues. If you think about your jobs, marriages, family, friends, our country, even the NBA. People hate the NBA because the NBA, they sell out all the time. Those players, they could care less about what team they're with. They want to be on the winning team. And if they can win a title with somebody else, if somebody else can pay them a little more money, they're going to go. There's no loyalty to a team anymore. One of the greatest examples I think of, and I wasn't here to witness this, I'm just going to read it to you, but how incredible a moment this must have been. Anybody ever heard of Jackie Robinson, the baseball player? He played with a teammate named Pee Wee Reese. And back in 1947, they both played for the Brooklyn Dodgers. Very, very good friends. And what makes this story especially meaningful is Jackie Robinson was the first black or African-American baseball player to break the color or race barrier. This was a significant moment. And even his own teammates turned against him. All sorts of fans wrote death threats and all sorts of horrible things simply because of the color of his skin. And when the Brooklyn Dodgers were playing in Cincinnati, Jackie Robinson was playing second base. His friend, Pee Wee Reese, was playing shortstop. The crowd began to throw things on the field and began booing, saying horrible things to Jackie Robinson, to which his friend, Pee Wee Reese, on shortstop, threw his glove down, walked across the field, and put his arm around Jackie Robinson. And the crowd went silent. Because of one man's loyalty, everything changed. Jackie Robinson later said that this one simple act did more than save his career. It probably saved him in more ways than he could ever know. And it was such a significant moment. There's a picture that I want to show you. They made a statue of this, and it sits in Brooklyn in front of their stadium today because of this moment, this one act of loyalty. Now, I want to show you another story in the Bible. I can give you sports stories, but let's look at a biblical story of someone who truly didn't just proclaim loyalty, they proved it. It was loyalty between a soldier, a commander, and King David. So I'm going to give you a quick context, and then we'll read in 2 Samuel chapter 15. King David had a son named Absalom. It was his third son. And his son committed a horrible crime and ended up murdering a guy, and he was on the run for his life. He was afraid, even though David had remained faithful to him. About 3 years later, Absalom returned with a big army to overthrow his own dad's throne. Even though David had been faithful to him, he still was there to overthrow the throne. So there was this guy named Ittai. And he was basically a mercenary. He was hired he was a hired guy who was a commander of 600 men. And this Ittai had no real skin in the game. He was not connected to either one of them. He was just a warrior in this fight. So he volunteered to fight for David. Now I want you to see what happens here. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 19. The king said to Ittai the Gittite. Now I'm going to pause there to give you a moment to catch up with that name. Ittai the Gittite. Why should you come along with us? Go back and stay with the king Absalom. You're a foreigner, an exile from your homeland. You came only yesterday. Go back and take your countrymen. May kindness and faithfulness be with you. David basically gave him a free pass to not have to fight. Go back, just take your men, save your lives, and we'll take care of this. But look at his loyalty in verse 21. As surely as the Lord lives, and as my Lord the King lives, wherever my Lord the King may be, whether it means life or death, there your servant will be. Not only did he proclaim loyalty, but he proved it as he led his 600 men into battle. And he fought so faithfully that David elevated him to be in charge of about a third of the troops because he embraced the virtue of loyalty. No matter what it costs me, no matter what everyone else thinks, even if it costs me my life, I'm not loyal up to a point. I'm not conditionally loyal. My loyalty is with God and God forever. The forgotten virtue of loyalty. Many people like the idea of climbing the corporate ladder. And I don't know why, but it seems as though people have forgotten that you can do that through being loyal. Instead, we want to cutthroat everybody and knock them out and take their position. But there is something to be said for being loyal to your boss, for being loyal to your place of work. And as you do that, you can watch yourself climb the corporate ladder in a way with integrity and through love, through righteousness, and without hurting other people. Now, what I want to do for the next few moments, this is going to be kind of weird. I've never done this before, and I hope that you'll hang with me here for just a moment. And Chad has just left the building, and I have become a new person named Sarcastic Chad. Okay? So I want Sarcastic Chad, for all you loyal people in the room that don't know how to be disloyal, I want to teach you how to do so. So just listen to Sarcastic Chad for just a moment, okay? A great place to begin for beginning betrayers or to be disloyal is to your spouse. I mean, the Bible says in Malachi 2:15, has not the one God made you? You belong to Him in body and in spirit. What does the one God seek? Godly offspring. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful to the wife of your youth. Really? That's old-fashioned. Don't guard your heart. Who cares? God says to remain loyal to your wife of your youth. Why? If you got a 50-year-old, why not trade her in for a 25-year-old? Seriously, why stay loyal? Malachi 2:16, God says, I hate divorce. Who cares about that? To divorce your wife is what? It's to overwhelm her with cruelty? She probably had it coming, and so did her mother-in-law. It's okay. All right? So, other ways to be disloyal. I mean, think about it. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need. Who needs friends? I mean, seriously, do you really have to be that loyal? It's more fun to talk about them than to be loyal to them. You know, when you go home at night, you say, can you believe how they spend their money? Can you believe they call that a marriage? Can you believe what they do to their children? Another great way to be disloyal to your friends is never be truthful with them. Just let them think that what they're doing is right. You don't have to be honest or truthful in love. You can just let them think that what they're doing is great. There's no biblical to that. And you know what? You don't have to forgive them. Hold grudges. It feels good inside to hold a grudge and tell everybody else about what they did. Just bear with me. I know this is silly. You can be disloyal to the church. Disloyal and unfaithful. I mean, the New Testament Christians, they were like fanatic into Jesus stuff. Who needs that? We can show up once a month and call it good, right? I mean, Acts 2:42 says they devoted themselves to the apostles, teaching, to the fellowship, and sharing in meals, including in the Lord's Supper and to prayer. I mean, really? Do we really need our church family? I don't think so. We got ourselves. And that way, if I get upset, then I can just leave and go somewhere else because I don't need that church, right? Now, this last one, Acts 2:45, they sold their possessions and goods and they gave to anyone who was in need. Hey, this is my money and I worked hard for it. So I'm going to keep it. I'm done. I know it was dumb. I know. Thank you for bearing with me. Thank you. Real Chad's back. I know it's ridiculous. And I don't even mean to make light of it. Church, there's something to be said for being loyal. There's something to be said for being a friend, for being the godly person that God has called us to be. I want to give you six things to look out for. Six things that lead, this is just in the church, okay? That lead to disloyalty in the church, that kind of drive us away from God. And these are things that you can look out for. So I want to give you these six things really quick. Number one is burnout. Some people come into the gates too strong in church and they show up, they get excited, they sign up for everything. And we want you to. We want you to get involved. We want you to sign up. But you're so busy doing church that you fail to enjoy being the church. You feel obligated to be here, so therefore you get burnt out rather than desiring to be here and seeing the difference it makes in your life. Therefore, we get burnt out. Another reason we walk away from the church or from God is with people. People are cruel. People can be mean. And inside the church, it happens where some people just see God in other people, which we should. But when they get hurt by other people, they walk away from the very thing that can help them, which is God. I hope I didn't confuse you when I said that. Let me give you this scripture. 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have this treasure in jars of clay. This treasure is God. God is the treasure. We're but a vessel. And sometimes we're broken. How about many times we're broken? Can I be honest with you? Sometimes I break. And sometimes I might even mess up and hurt somebody. Is it on purpose? No. But if I hurt you, don't walk away from the treasure because of the vessel. Hang on to the treasure. Don't let people push you out of the church or away from God. Another thing we do is we get distracted. You know, there's a lot of things that we can find to fill our time. Traveling, living life in the fast lane, working up the ladder as we want to do in our life, or in our job. And over time, our lifestyle of attending or being a part of a church just becomes forgotten. Life change happens. Sometimes you move and it's really hard to find a church like the one you had. And sometimes you just have a hard time. See, I'm not trying to just promote our church. This is the church in general, and we're talking about God. But over time, as lifestyle changes happen, we take a new job, and we have work hours that we have to commit to. And before long, we find ourselves out of church. Or maybe it's through a crisis in our family, and we find ourselves away from the church when we need it the most. The next one would be we mess up. We make a mistake. And sometimes when we walk in the church, we feel like everyone knows. We feel like everyone's looking at us, and not just looking at us, but looking down on us. And can I tell you, that is just a perception. It's not reality. I myself love you. God loves you, and He wants you here. This is where you can find healing for whatever you've messed up from. It's okay to come back. And finally, the last one is we fail to connect on a personal level with those around us. We never get beyond, hey, hello, how are you? And if we don't feel connected, we find ourselves out of church. Six reasons why we find ourselves disloyal to the church or to God. This is one of the reasons, Courtney announced it earlier, that we came up with this idea of All Out Sunday next Sunday. We do it 4 times a year on the 5th Sunday of the month. And all it is for you to find somebody in this place that you've never connected with, or maybe you hardly know. You might know their name. You say hi every week. They sit in your section and you just never have really connected. What a great opportunity to just sit around the table and share a meal and get to know one another. That's all we're asking you to do, because out of doing that, you'll walk away with another friend. You'll walk away with someone else that maybe you can call, that maybe can relate to whatever it is you're going through. And that's the goal of that. Let me just wrap all this up with this statement. And I think this is on the back of your bulletin as well. All disloyalty is born out of a divided heart. It comes from our scripture we read in the beginning. James chapter 1, verse 5, and I'm going to read it again. Hear these words and understand all disloyalty comes out of a divided heart. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with a divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything that they do. It all begins with a divided heart. And God created us to show us love and to have that fellowship with Him. He was loyal to us, so loyal that even when we were being unfaithful or disloyal to Him, He sent His Son to die for us anyway. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. He sent His Son to die for you and for me. Even when we were at our worst, we were faithless, we were disloyal, but He remains faithful and He remains loyal to us. The most important commandment, Jesus says, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. That's everything. That's not a divided heart. That's every bit of you loving God. And here's the cool part of this. James 4, 8 and 9 says that if you come close to God, He will come close to you. So in those moments when you're in a pinch and you want to run the other way, you want to run away from God, somebody hurt you or someone did something to you or the church hurt you and you want to go the other way, if you will draw near to God, He will what? I said He will what? Draw near to you. Is that not powerful today? To understand that He loves us so much, if we just take that step and say, God, I need You. I don't want to be disloyal to You. I want to hold on to You in this moment when I need You the most. He will draw near to you. If you walk away with anything today, understand the promise that if you just draw near to God, He will draw near to you. He loves you. Continue reading in James 4, 8 and 9. You don't have to look at it. I'll throw it on the screen for you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Now that sounds very condemning. He's calling us sinners, but are we not? Are we not sinners in this room today? But you know what? We serve a God that cleanses all of that sin. We serve a God that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And there is something that I am not able to produce in your heart today. I cannot in any way, shape, or form. I can produce it in my heart. But it is a desire to draw close to God in His goodness and see His faithfulness. And during my disloyalty, to understand that He cares enough to bring me back every time. And if I am seeing that I'm being disloyal, it would grieve me. That it would matter to me. That I would go, you know what? I do need to change who I am in this moment. There's something wrong in here. And I need God to fix it. I don't know how you want to leave this today. I believe this speaks to many different people. So where you go from here is up to you. I would imagine some of us in this room probably should go to maybe a spouse or a family member and say, it grieves me deeply that I have been disloyal. That I have belittled you or torn you down or been unfaithful or, you know, with my actions or my eyes. But with Christ's power, I will be loyal to you. Maybe some of us need to go to a friend and say, I'm sorry. I haven't been a good friend. I haven't been there for you. I haven't been praying for you. I've been too consumed with my own life. And I haven't helped you at all. But I will be faithful to you with the power of the Holy Spirit. And maybe some of us, here's the good news. I look at many of you in this room when it comes to the church, and I believe many of you are faithful to the church. And I recognize that, and can I tell you, God recognizes that. And I praise God for every one of you that remains faithful to God no matter what. Now, some of us are still going to church. We haven't caught on to the fact that we are to be the church. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, today, that can change. The forgotten virtue of loyalty. Will you bow your heads with me? Lord, these quiet moments are some of my favorite because I believe it's when you speak to us the most. We hear your words, God, but we have to process that in our hearts. We have to search our hearts and say, God, where am I in all of this? I pray that you'll do that today. I want to begin by asking this question. If you're in the room, you've never began a relationship with Jesus Christ. Or maybe you did a long time ago and you walked away from it. And you just want to say, today, Chad, I want to begin this relationship. To know what it is to draw close to God and for Him to draw close to me. And if that's you in this room, I just want you to raise your hand and I want to pray with you. Anybody? Thank you. Put your hand up. Anybody else? Let's pray this together, all of us. Heavenly Father, I believe in you. Thank you for receiving me, accepting me, as I invite you into my heart. I love you. I need you. Cleanse me today of all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we give a hand for this one who accepted Christ today? Now for the rest of us, I leave that to you once again. You know what spoke to your heart today. You know what God is saying to you. And I felt like it was only fair that we leave this place singing the song that we ended on. What can I say? What can I do? But offer this heart, O God, completely to you. And if we're going to stand with arms high and heart wide open in awe of the one who gave us everything, don't you think he deserves that today? Don't you think he deserves our praise? Let's stand in this place. Lord, may we not just proclaim that, but may we prove it every day as we live for you. May we honor you, God. May it not just come from our hearts or our lips. God, may we be loyal to you. May we serve you. May we give to you everything that you ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.